welcome to the Coda Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, we're going to be talking about platform as a service, which is a follow-up to another podcast episode that I did in regards to choosing the right server or server provider. So I've left this out in that episode simply because it's kind of in a league of its own. So you're probably asking, what is a platform as a service and why do you keep hearing about this PaaS thing? So it's essentially this kind of like a pre-bundled up service that includes a bunch of the things that you'd normally manually do. And it's kind of tuned to a specific task out of the box. So you're looking at, say, if you wanted a platform for your, or a setup for your Rails application. So there's platforms for that. So they're kind of set up in that kind of way. If you want WordPress hosting or Laravel stuff, it's kind of all bundled and geared towards that one specific application. Now, there seems to be a huge abundance of these platforms as a service or PaaS. I'm not too sure how you say the abbreviated version there, but there is tons of them. Now, probably the biggest one that you would have heard of because it covers quite a number of different services is Heroku. So Heroku have been around for quite a while, and they do things very, very well. Now, there's ones for Laravel, there's ones for WordPress, there's just general ones, like Fort Rabbit, I think, is just a general one. It's more PHP, but yeah, they're more generalized. So I'm going to kind of use Heroku as an example here, because they feel like they are the platform as a service provider in terms of these kind of web applications and stuff that we're developing. So the first thing which kind of gives you a little bit of a help along is no need to manage security updates. Now, this is pretty big. If you're running your own server, running security updates, and it's just not for your application. A lot of people forget about this. It's actually about software installed on the server, whether it's your web server, your application server, the server itself. There might be some general updates there. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that that people don't think about. There's bugs that come up. Things have to be patched in like SSL that's in the server software itself. Like, there's heaps of these things, and there's been a lot coming out, at least in the past 12 to 24 months. There's been some massive ones. And some of these updates require some downtime on your server. So having these platforms as a service, they generally handle this stuff and it's transparent. So not needing to manage security updates is a huge one. It saves a lot of time. The other thing is everything is there kind of ready to go. You essentially, a lot of them are Git-based deploys, and they have a CLI tool, and you just, within a couple commands, boom, you're up and running. So it's really, really good to have something bootstrapped super quick. And that comes into the hassle-free deployment. A lot of them use Git deployment, so you'll just Git push to whatever this origin server is. So that can be Heroku, for example, or Fort Rabbit or whatnot, and it'll do whatever it needs to do. And they generally have these kind of build packs where they'll run stuff in the background. They'll go, okay, hey, this is a Rails app, I need to do this, or this is a Django app, I need to do this, or this is Node, so I need to do this. And it kind of does all that stuff for you, so it kind of handles that deployment side of things. The next is easy add-ons. So if you need a database, you don't have to go and, apt-get install your Postgres or MySQL or MySQL Server, all that kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about any of that. You essentially use these add-on services, which they do have free and paid, or at least most of them have free and paid add-ons. And you can just choose your database. You might want to do some analytics. You want to do some simple storage solutions there with Redis. You might want to do some log tracking. They're all kind of there, but and at a simple click or a couple clicks, and you have that added on, and it's ready to go. So as you can see, it's kind of allowing you to not worry about any of the provisioning and just get on with building your application or your website and making it amazing for your customers. You don't have to worry about any of the infrastructure. The other thing is a lot of them are starting to come out with is built-in monitoring these days. Now, this is kind of handy. You can see the health of your application. One thing that I really love, this at least the monitoring for Heroku is in a higher paid plan, but the other thing that they're coming out with is with these checklists to make sure your site is production ready. And they'll let you know things like, oh, you should have SSL, you should be at least having redundant, Heroku calls them dynos, but you want to have redundancy there, so in case something fails over that another one, or something fails that you've got to fail over, so it backs it up. things like that. So they really come in handy there. But the biggest thing, if you just take a step back, I think, is the not having to worry about something that you really shouldn't. Now, yes, they do cost a bit more money than running your own, but if you add up the time to get the server bootstrapped, even if you do have something like Ansible or you're deploying with Docker or using Chef or some kind of provisioning tool, there's still things you have to worry about, like in terms of security, general maintenance, you know, rotating logs and stuff like that. The security maintenance kind of thing is the biggest one. You know, even if you it might take you, say, half an hour to update this one server, if you have five of them or 10 of them, that's a lot of time going. And this might happen multiple times a month. It might happen maybe once every 6 months, who knows. But in terms of keeping these up to date and making sure you don't break anything when you're doing an update, it's huge. So that small additional cost, which it might seem like a lot, but really is only a small additional slightly more amount, you know what I'm trying to say. It really, really, it pays for itself tenfold easily, especially when you don't want to kind of be worrying and going, oh, cool, we've actually just spent, you know, half a day trying to get this set up and finally tuned, whereas these kind of providers are already finely tuned for these things. Probably another one I didn't actually mention is Pantheon, which is kind of its own platform as a service for Drupal and WordPress hosting. That's another really good one to check out there, because they also do the highly optimized thing as well. So it's worth checking out how they do things, and you'll kind of get a good understanding there. But being able to just simply quickly launch one of these services, push what you need up, and it'll do 99% of it, what you need for you. The other 1% might be adding some add-ons or just configuring, you know, how much money you want to pay by setting up, how much resources you need. It's all via a GUI where you're just selecting, you know, I need, you know, 1 gig of RAM here or whatnot. So it's really, really handy. And these platforms are readily available, and there's lots of them, and there's more and more coming out. So you might be asking, well, will it suit me? Well, as I've said in the previous episode about selecting a server, it really does depend on your needs. So if you're looking to have sensitive data, then something like Heroku is probably not the best idea. I don't know what their stance is on it, but there's PCI compliance and other kind of privacy compliance that you have to meet, and Heroku might not meet that. So it's things like that. I can't really give you a solid answer. And your general costs may come into it. You might just not be able to afford it. At the time, at least up front. So there's things like that that come into play, but I think these are kind of like the things you should consider first, and then go on to running your own server as a secondary. Because you might hear some people like, hey, it's easy. But surprisingly, some of those people might not actually be doing the updates they need to do, and nothing's worse than a hacked site, or sometimes they've stuffed up the update, and next thing the site's down, it's like, well, I didn't know what I was doing. If you were with one of those platforms as a service, that it certainly doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but that it drops that risk considerably, like a massive amount. So I highly recommend platforms as a service as a kind of a yes, let's do this first, or assess this first before even looking at any other solution, as you will find quite a lot of the time that one of these services will actually suit your needs. So with Laravel, there's some amazing services actually built by Taylor Otwell, who's the creator of Laravel. He's got some great ones out there for Laravel. So if you're a Laravel person, you definitely should be looking at that stuff before looking at Media Temple or Rackspace or AWS or DigitalOcean. You should definitely be looking at those beforehand, before even considering anything else. So that's essentially it. I'd love to know your stories. You know, if you use a platform as a service, if you've had troubles with them, or what have you found been great with them, I'd love to know and get your feedback on that. So if you can leave a comment on codacatchup.com, send an email through to codacatchup@gmail.com, or send a tweet through to @codacatchup on Twitter. Anyway, that's essentially it, and we'll catch you in the next episode.